On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday. Catch us live on air at noon, or you can always go to ksro.com to stream it. If you're sitting in front of your computer and you can't get an AM station, you can go to 103.5.
Yep.
Right? We're easy to find. Multiple locations on the web and, of course, in the air. It's been fun to do this show for now 6 years because there's just been evolution.
Oh, it's changed so
much. Of the show, of who we talk to. We started off, it was called The Lone Show. This is so one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. So now we're on air with George Adair just because it rhymes and it fits. Works great. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just being swamped. You know, it's like everybody, I work for a company called Bay Equity Home Loans. And what we do is offer residential home loans to people in the area. And I think people took June off from the real estate and lending market and decided to go travel. Because all of a sudden we come back after the July 4th week and it's like, boom, people in contract, people are buying houses, people are refinancing. And a lot of that has to do with equity. Did you know that in the last 30 days, the average sales price of a home in Healdsburg was $1.3 million?
What?
Yeah, Pengrove, $1 million. Let's see, Petaluma went up to $859. These are the averages per area. Average home price in Rona Park up to $661. Santa Rosa is up to $615. Sebastopol, $1 million. Windsor, $729.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
So the equity is definitely there.
The equity is there. And people are saying, look, if my neighbor's selling for this, maybe I can get that plus 2 or 5%. That's what's changing. Mm-hmm. So let's say your neighbor just sold his or her house in the last 3 months for $700,000. You might just think, hey, that trend line is steep. I'm gonna get 725. Probably not. I'm starting to see a softening in the marketplace. And it's just a reality check that the market cannot be explosively growing at 2-3% a month. That's not sustainable.
Right.
It's also not affordable to buyers. You've got to put your shoes in the buyer's put your feet in your buyer's shoes, because it's almost impossible for most first-time home buyers to qualify with a low down payment and feel comfortable about their mortgage payment based on a $650,000 purchase.
Right.
I know, because I talk to first-time home buyers, and this is a real problem that Sonoma County has. It's why they're leaving in droves. People are leaving. Millennials are leaving. Gen Xs and Yers are leaving. These are the working-class folks in Sonoma County are leaving because they don't feel like they can afford it. So that's going to help suppress this growth of list home prices. But there's tremendous tax advantages to owning. And I always point this out when I'm talking to people when they compare rent versus own. And with us today to talk about some of these advantages is Carly Ortiz. She's a partner and a CPA for a local firm called Linkenheimer. Hi, Carly. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, of course.
So, Carly, tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what your specialties are in the accounting world.
Sure. So I'm with Linkenheimer CPAs. We are a firm of about 25 people, a very culture-centric accounting firm. We've been around since 1932, so quite a long time. I've actually been practicing for about 14 years, so not as long as we've been around, but a good amount of time.
Yeah,
our main focus is working with closely held businesses, high net worth individuals, and estates and trusts. Mm-hmm. And we obviously provide traditional accounting services such as tax preparation, accounting, and auditing services.
Yeah.
But I think that our value and expertise really comes in on the strategic tax planning and business planning side of things.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big thing is, folks, you don't want to wait till the end of the tax year to be strategic in planning your tax year, right? I mean, it's good to be working with somebody in the capacity to understand what your future outlook looks like, right?
Well, of course, and I think now is a really great time for people to focus on tax planning, mm-hmm. because with the recent tax reform that we had in December of 2017, I mean, it's the biggest overhaul we've had in about 30 years. Mm-hmm. I think 1986 was the last time we had such a major overhaul in tax legislation.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good time for people to assess their situation. And I think most people will be pleased that they will be paying less in taxes in 2018. Now, that's not for everybody, but in many cases, just because of the reduction in tax rates, people are going to be saving.
Yeah, it changes, changes standard deduction, right? Changes the actual tables for the taxes people will pay as a percentage. But it also changed how people can benefit from home ownership. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that. What sort of the higher level changes that especially folks in California are going to see when they're filing their 2018 returns and beyond as it relates to Schedule A interest deductions and even getting into the state and local tax deductions?
Sure, sure. So as you mentioned, the biggest change is the major increase in the standard deduction. So previously we had about a $12,000 standard deduction for married filing jointly. Now we have a $24,000 standard deduction. So for many people who were maybe close to itemizing or not itemizing, they're not going to need to do that because of that huge standard deduction, right? Because if your mortgage interest is only, you know, $20,000 and you don't have any other deductions,
right,
and maybe your property taxes are a couple thousand dollars, you're going to get the higher benefit by taking that standard deduction. So for a lot of people, it will sort of simplify their taxes. So going back to that mortgage interest, though, one of the big things that did change was for purchases on new properties after December 15th, you can only deduct up to $750,000 in mortgage interest. So I just heard you talking about the home prices in Sonoma County. So, you know, on a new purchase, if you purchase a home and have debt of $900,000, part of that interest is not going to be deductible.
And it used to be, was it a million? That was the cap before?
It used to be a million. And for those that already own homes, they're grandfathered in, which is a nice thing. And also if you refinance, you're grandfathered in at that $1 million.
Well, that's good to know. Now, there's a big shift, though, that's occurring with the seconds, the home equity line of credits that are secured as mortgages against people's property. A lot of people think they're not a mortgage. They are actually secured with a deed of trust. However, the deductibility of that interest is changing, too, isn't it?
Yeah. So if your HELOC was used and you can actually trace it to improving your home or building your home, adding on to your home, repairs, et cetera, then you still can deduct that interest, and there's no limit on that. But before, you could deduct up to $100,000, sort of no questions asked. So let's say you took out a HELOC for kids' tuition or a vacation or a car, or, you know, any personal expenses, you could deduct up to $100,000. You no longer can do that, even if you had the loan previously.
Yeah, right. Well, then, of course, there's the alternative use for the HELOC was people would use it for credit card debt pay down and paying for a cash out to have on hand. That no longer is really deductible is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if you did take, let's say you took out a HELOC and bought an investment property or rental property or a vacation home, it still could be deductible. But if it's used for clearly just a personal expense, no longer deduction is allowed.
So if you just joined us, I have Carly Ortiz. She's a CPA with Liepenheimer CPAs. She's a partner there, been there for a long time now, which is great. And you're a local firm and you like to work with folks that have more complicated tax needs. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are looking into getting into home ownership, into investment property ownership, not just beyond what they own and live in now, taking some of that equity. How do you guide people that are looking to expand their real estate portfolio? And what are the tax advantages in doing so?
Yeah, well, you know, the big thing with rental real estate and investment property is people are looking at, you know, how can I get a stream of cash flow and not pay tax on it? And I think with tax reform, now is an even better time to do that because there have been some very tax favorable advantages to purchasing rental property. So one of them is bonus depreciation rules. And so the concept of depreciation is basically when you purchase a piece of property, let's say it's, you know, a $500,000 property, a portion of that is depreciable because some of it's land and you can't depreciate land, but the building itself is depreciable, and any of the fixtures, furniture, other items in the home are also depreciable.
Yeah, and there's the depreciation is a nice sort of throwaway for your taxes, but in the end, if you do sell, it does sort of affect some of the capital gains, and you lose, you have to sort of pay some of that back, right?
It does. It does. So if you sell a property, you're going to pay a different rate on the depreciation that you took.
Mm-hmm.
But for many people who are not planning on selling, let's say they want to keep buying rental properties, or you know, do 1031 exchanges, they can continue to get those depreciation benefits and offset their cash flow from the income on that.
And I think it's really another thing that we should point out today is it's really critical that people understand the changes by living in California. We're the highest, we pay the highest state income tax, I understand, right? We're pretty close to it. And so the new tax plan, the new federal tax plan has capped the state and local deductibility of taxes off of your federal returns to $10,000. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. So previously, if you were itemizing, they call it the SALT deduction, which is your state and local tax deduction. So that would include any state taxes you pay, any property taxes you pay, including things like DMV fees, boat registration, things like that. So now the limit is $10,000 in total. So for people who live in Sonoma County, you're paying at least probably $10,000 in most cases, especially if you buy a new home, just in property taxes annually.
Yeah, if it's based on 1.25% of the purchase price.
Yeah. So essentially that makes it so that your state tax deduction in California is no longer a deduction because it's capped to $10,000 in total.
Right.
Now, the one good thing about that is that, or not good thing, but the one thing that makes it not so hard to swallow is that many people who had high state taxes were already subject to alternative minimum tax, which is a parallel tax system with regular tax. And without getting too complex, if you're subject to AMT, your state taxes get added back anyway, and you don't get the benefit. So,
and many people were.
Exactly. Many people are already subject to AMT. So we found that, you know, at least for a lot of our clients, they were very afraid of the whole add back for the SALT deduction. But in most cases, it's not affecting as many people.
Right. Yeah. So that's also causing people to look at leaving California and seeing. But, you know, what they don't realize, or they should always research, is county property taxes in other states are actually much higher than California.
So,
you know, you're going to pay
Texas,
it somewhere.
Right? Don't they have a huge property tax there?
They do, actually. We had our family property out in Texas, and they reassessed it. It was based on about 3.33%, and it actually our taxes tripled in 1 year. So Prop 13 is a real nice thing in California. We definitely want to protect that. And on that note, I'm going to have to let you go because we got to go to break, Carly.
Okay.
But hey, Carly Ortiz, how do people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you about their tax needs and strategizing, especially in the States?
Yeah. So our phone number is 707-546-0272. Anyone's welcome to give me a call if they have questions. You can also check out our website at www.linkcpa.com.
Nicely done. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Bay Equity Loans. You're going to find Carly's information there too. Carly, we want to have you back again. I know you're a busy lady and I appreciate your time.
All right, take care.
All right, folks. Carly Ortiz, CPA with Linkenheimer CPAs, a local tax firm. I recommend you guys give them a call if you have tax questions. And, you know, they are complicated matters, so work with an expert, especially some of our higher net worth folks and people that are inheriting money. I'm late for this commercial break. I got to go. Be right back. Stick around.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Hey, homeowners, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. Now you can finally benefit from the housing recovery. For a free home value analysis, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Maybe now you can knock out some of those home improvement projects, like adding a new roof, kitchen, or flooring. You can even add solar with a cash-out refinance. Do you still have high credit card payments? Use your home's equity at a low-fixed mortgage to get rid of that expensive debt and sleep well again. Bay Equity can help you celebrate the housing recovery. Treat yourself to improving your home or reduce your credit card balances with a cash-out refinance from Bay Equity Home Loans. To see if you qualify, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100, or go online to bayequityloans.com.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval, NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight, California Finance Lender Law, and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 245370.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, I'm joined in the studio with Adrian Roach. He's a real estate agent with W Real Estate, a local real estate brokerage here in Sonoma County. Hey, Adrian, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here again.
You've been doing this for about 13 years, and you've probably seen some up and downs during that time period.
Just a few. One big one.
Yeah, we all saw the real big one.
Right.
But, folks, there's a lot of headwinds when you enter the housing market. You know, it's not the easiest thing to start. One of the first places I'm sure, Adrian, you recommend is getting pre-approved, right?
Always.
So if someone calls you and they're like, hey, I saw your listing over there on a Main Street. What do you say? How do you engage them to get started in the process to buy or qualify?
Definitely try and, warm the call up a little bit. But, first thing is, hey, are you pre-approved? Mm-hmm. Have you spoken with a lender? And number two is, who have you talked to? Who are you pre-approved with? Because,
right. Yeah,
that is crucial.
Because regionality versus national lenders is important, right? Working with a local lender versus...
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. I've got this article that I was reading, and it talked about, affordability. And the issue of qualifying comes down to the three C's, which is credit, collateral, and capacity. So credit, of course, is self-explanatory, which is your FICO score and your credit history. Collateral is the property that you're making a loan on. What's the value and what's the quality of it? And the capacity is what savings and what income do you have? And so I was looking at the salary you need to afford homes in 20 major U.S. cities. And what an interesting article that was put out by this Emmy Martin. She's a blogger, it looks like. It talks about that there's such a disparity between income and median home prices. And for example, if I go down into San Francisco here, it talked about, these numbers are pretty shocking. The median home price in San Francisco is $1.296
million. Oh my God, I'm sorry. That took my breath away.
Yeah. $1.296 million median home price. The income needed to qualify with 10% down payment is $215,000 a year. And the income needed to qualify with a 20% down payment is $180,000.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, folks, that's like, first off, that's one percenter type income.
Yeah.
Right? So affordability is a big factor, isn't it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's people who can kind of, they have a, what do they call it, champagne taste and a beer budget. You ever get any of those buyers, Adrian?
Oh, just a few.
Yeah.
A lot of first-time home buyers are like that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I want to live up in Healdsburg. It's beautiful up there. And I don't have the numbers here, but I'm pretty sure the median home price is approaching $1 million in Healdsburg, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny because you always hear, this is my list of requirements. This is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay, we got to scratch about every one of those off.
We got to carve about 70%
off reality.
That. Yeah. And, it's funny. We joke about it. And you think, gosh, that's just craziness. But there's people that are out there trying to figure out how to buy a house in these markets.
Right.
And that's where urban sprawl turns into suburbia.
Right.
This is why Santa Rosa exists and why Tracy and Bakersfield and Fresno exist. Mm-hmm. And, it's sprawling away from these urban centers. Santa Rosa is also growing, but if you get outside of Santa Rosa, you look at DeRoner Park and you can get up into Cloverdale.
Mm-hmm.
But what else has bounced back? Lake County.
Lake County, yep.
Huge demand for Lake County. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent. Right around the first year and a half that I was in the business, mm-hmm. we had that big push up to Cloverdale, out to Lake County, mm-hmm. When the market was red hot and very reminiscent with all the multiple offers, the prices going through the roof, all the overbidding. And it's almost like we're, right there again.
Well, Michelle, you're from Seattle. You have family
from
Seattle.
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Okay, what do you think the median home price in Seattle is right now?
Gosh, I don't know.
Shoot something at me.
700.
Nope, you're high. It's 530.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you had 10% down in Seattle, you'd need to make about $87,000 a year.
Okay.
Yeah. So income is a headwind.
Right.
But so is interest rates. So, interest rates fluctuate. The higher the interest rate, the lower your buying power. A lot of people I see today are pushing the limits on what they qualify for. Mm-hmm. They're paying off debt in order to qualify because we look at their overall debt to income ratio relative to the debt to income ratio is part of the calculation and underwriting. So their total cumulative monthly payments on debt calculates against their income. We get a ratio. So that's really the basis of this analysis. Here, I'll give you another one. What do you think Los Angeles? I'll ask you, Los Angeles.
I'll go with my 700 again.
No, 555.
What?
Yeah.
It's way more affordable than I would think.
Yeah, but it's Los Angeles.
Oh, and it's huge, right? So I guess that factors in everything.
It's a big area. Sprawl is again a factor there. There's a lot of suburbia out there. You know, Las Vegas is only 205.
That makes sense. Being out in the desert in the heat,
it's hot.
Yep.
But if it's 205, you only got to make $34,000 a year.
Wow. Gosh.
Yeah. Dollar's going to go a lot further out there.
Yeah. Well, no, there's slot machines.
Right. They won't go that far. They'll go right to the slot machine.
Back with empty pockets.
Yeah. It's not going to go further. It's going to get further away from you. Well, okay. So you got headwinds that hit you. When a buyer wants to look attractive, let's say we've pre-approved them. Bay Equity has got a buyer. I sent them to you and they're pre-approved. And what is the next step for you in helping a buyer to identify their goals and get an accepted offer on a house?
A couple things that we'll look at. One of the phone calls that I would make with you after the pre-approval is seeing as far as timelines with loan approvals, if there's any way we can shave those down, because the contract defaults on 21 days for loan approval. Mm-hmm. If we can shave that down a little bit, we can make that look more attractive.
And they have to trust that not only, so the listing agent gets this offer that says, we can do it in 8 days. You know, you're going to look at that and go,
that's a big question mark.
Yeah. I mean, there's just time. It takes time to do things.
Right.
So, you know, we are seeing people can remove contingencies on loans with 12 days, 14 days, right?
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they can do that.
So what else? So time frames, it's 30 days is the standard, but we're seeing people do it in 22 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's out there. And that's with a good lender like yourself, Bay Equity, in being able to shave those timelines down, a lot of these offers can compete with cash closings. Mm-hmm. You know, cash buyers out there usually have that quick close, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 days, just enough time to do their inspections, things like that. So when you've got a lender who is able to do that as well.
Perform quickly.
Exactly.
Cash buyers sound good at first, but, you know, then you sort of start to peel out the details of the offer. What are some of the weaknesses of a cash offer that you've experienced down the road into the contract? You know, what happens?
That's a key word. Into the contract is a lot of times that they'll make it look attractive on the outside, but as soon as they start doing their inspections, it's, you know, they're hammering you on, we need a price reduction for this and that. So by the time it's all said and done, they've tried to beat up the seller in getting a lower sales price or, you know, closing cost credits and things like that.
Right. There's a believability factor. Sometimes, If an offer looks too good, the listing agent will be like, I don't know, right? And they'll also, you know, you as a listing agent would query the buyer's agents to make sure they're not going to come back at you later and say, hey, are you going to try and beat us up?
Definitely. Yeah. That's the key, is asking the right questions up front and trying to get those tough answers to see where their intentions
lie. Sort of see behind the curtain a little bit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. See what you're really made of as an offer, as a buyer. Because cash, they say cash is king, right? Well, you know, sometimes cash buyers use that as leverage and they say, well, hey, I've got cash and I can close quick, but I need you to drop your price another 5% or something crazy, right?
Yep. Usually that's the deal.
So agents are seeing through cash a little bit more than they used to, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah. Definitely. You know, every scenario is different. You know, just like every buyer and every borrower is different.
Right. Yeah, so. Sure. But cash still plays a big role in today's marketplace.
It does, especially in our area. Mm-hmm. You know, the stat is one out of every four buyers is still cash.
That's a lot.
So,
yeah. I mean, that is a lot. And you do carry that strength in shorter contingencies or no loan contingency, but there's still the issue of inspection contingencies
exactly.
that can come up.
Yep.
Well, so you got headwinds into your ability to qualify. You've got... of course, as I mentioned, you've got credit scores, you've got the loan to value ratios and the collateral, and you've got the capacity. Savings and reserves is a big part of qualifying, especially if you're talking about a jumbo property.
Definitely.
I mean, you want to buy a property in San Francisco for $1.25 million. It's a non-conforming loan. It's not something that Fannie Mae will probably make the loan on unless you have a huge down payment, like $500,000 down or whatever the number is. So, that's also part of it, is verifying the assets. So when you get an offer in as a listing agent, and again, I'm here with Adrian Roach at W Real Estate, and he's our expert in the booth today. If you get an offer that comes in and it's got a big down payment,
What do you expect to see from the buyer to validate that?
You always ask for verification of funds. Mm-hmm. So either a bank statement, some kind of statement from, you know, if they've got it in stocks or whatever it might be.
Right.
So something to verify that those funds are actually there.
Right. So proving the funds is a big part of it, because the seller's going to take the house off the market and really doesn't have any control over the time frame until the contingencies are up.
That's right.
So there's a loan contingency in place. This is where trust comes in, right? You want to make sure you're working with a lender you can trust. Both the listing and selling agents want to make sure the lender's going to perform, because they basically take this house off the market from accepting any more offers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And until the contingencies are removed, the seller has no control.
Exactly.
So believability is a big factor. Yeah. And that's where you get into the difference between a pre-approval versus a pre-qualification, right?
Yes,
has it been through underwriting?
And what about rates fluctuating? Does that make it easier to afford?
Yeah, really, really good point. So the volatility in the marketplace is always going to impact the cost of home ownership. So if rates are 4% for a 30-year fix compared to 5%, that's about an 18% variance. I mean, there's a big difference in those rates. But if it's only like 4% compared to 4.25%, you could be talking about $100, $120 a month. That's not a big number. But $200 to $300, $400, that's a big number.
Right.
So, you know, rates have seemingly remained low over the history of interest rates. I think I've been saying historical low for the last 8 years.
Right. It certainly feels like it.
Yeah, it really does. But what, you know, I mean, as a realtor, are you monitoring rates as closely, or do you just kind of leave that up to the lenders?
We definitely take a look at rates. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to know, because your clients are going to ask you all the time. But, you know, beyond knowing, I always trust in my lender partners.
Right.
So,
yeah, well, you know, that's good. It is a partnership. I appreciate that you say that, because you got the lender and you got the realtor. They do need to talk. They need to communicate.
Always,
you know, and also on the other side, you know, the listing agent should be talking to the lender.
Always,
you know, and getting an idea of the statuses and where's the loan at.
Yeah. I'm always calling the lenders on the pre-approval letters and when I've got a listing and it's multiple offers.
Yeah.
It's been surprising. I've had a couple instances where, you know, I've called the lenders and, you know, just verifying the buyer is, you know, who the letter says it is, and run across a couple instances where it was totally different programs that the lender was talking about in the letter. And I'm like, how long has this been since you've touched base with this, or how old is this letter? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. So,
how about internet lenders? How do those conversations go? Do they ever even really talk to you very much?
It's a lot better than it used to be, but still, anytime I get any kind of internet lender, it's always a good practice to have them, you know, do a secondary pre-approval with somebody like you.
Somebody
especially local.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Adrian Roach is with W Real Estate, good friend of mine. Go ahead and give him a call. What's your number again, Adrian?
It's 707-292-6774.
All right, 292-6774, W Real Estate, a great local brokerage. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. All right. Glad to be here.
All right, folks. Hey, tune in again. We'll be on next Wednesday at noon 03 on air with George Adair. Thank you very much.